Pray that beyond the possibilities of this human instrument, that the Spirit of Christ will reach our hearts and fulfill His purpose in this ministry. In Christ's name, amen. Now we're going to charge on another line or two in Philippians. Beginning with verse 12, I want you to know, brethren, that the things that happened unto me came rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds are manifest in Christ Jesus in all the praetorium and to all the rest. And the majority of the brethren, having boldness in the Lord on account of my bonds, to speak the word fearlessly. Of course, he's talking about his imprisonment, he got into prison there a couple of times and for a couple of years at a time. But that enabled him to write these letters. And so it was something that the Lord had in mind for him. But it was not easy for him to go through it. It was a tough shot. You know, you can just think now, if you got thrown in a brig for a couple of years, you'd feel that maybe things were kind of rough for you. So, here is Paul. And he's saying that these things help because the other brothers, instead of being affected by it adversely, it made them more bold because of it. You know, they thought, well, that's the way it is, so we're going to go on anyway and do the job. Then in verse 15, he said, some on the one hand, some preach, that is, through contention and strife, and some preach to please Christ. Some on the one hand of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel, and some out of envy, proclaiming Christ, not with pure motive, but hoping or seeking to add affliction to my bonds. Now, so in other words, there are a lot of different ways that the gospel was going out in those days, as there are today. There are a lot of things that are going on in the church that look a little bit kooky to me. I don't go down that road at all. But on the other hand, the name of Christ gets out to the world, you know, and I'm glad of that much. That's kind of the thing that Paul is saying here, that he just has to trust the Lord to take care of the results of it. He says, in every place, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. And I also shall rejoice, for I know that this will result in salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to the earnest expectation and hope, or my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but in all things boldly, as always, so also now, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether through life or through death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now we'll look at that section tonight, and just for a few minutes here. It's got a lot of depth in it. Someone has said that there's life is never worth living till you find something worth dying for. And that's true. The thing of following Christ is a gutty kind of a thing. It's not simple. It's all right for I don't want to use any unfortunate terminologies, but sometimes the term Jesus freak is brought on by people's actions. You know, nobody ever called me a Jesus freak, yet I believe in the doctrines as deeply as anybody else. But I don't think the things we say sound freaky. People may not agree with it. You know, they may think I'm coming from Mars, but they don't. But it's nothing that we're not being freaky. A lot of the things people do in the church and in Christian groups and so forth are silly, giddy, freaky, dingy, you know. And that doesn't help with the cause very much because people may talk all they want about being happy in Jesus and all this sort of thing. But after all, if Christ ever hits you hard enough, the chances are that you're not going to run around jumping up and down and clapping your hands. You know, it's too heavy for that. Too heavy for that. In a sense, somewhere down the line, after you meet Christ, if you're open to Him, He's going to hit you with life. He's going to hit you pretty hard because you've got to learn what this old world's all about. If you try to make Christianity something that is a lot of funsies, you know, it's fun to serve Jesus kind of a thing. So if you try to make it that, you're missing the road. You may be off on a fleshly trip. I see, it's tough for me to say these things. I don't want to put anybody down, but, you know, people can do the same thing with a rock concert that they do often in the church with Christ. There's no great power shown to me by the fact that people can get in a group and get worked up and have a big time, you see, because you don't have to be a Christian to do that. They're trying to say, oh, look how happy we are in Jesus, you know. Well, you can do that in a rock concert. Be happy in Elton John or whoever he is. right? Yeah. That's tough to say. Life is tougher than that. Paul's words for joy here. Paul says, well, I rejoice in that the gospel is preached, but you have to remember that this is Jesus talked about joy on the way to the cross, but he's obviously not talking about this other kind of thing, you know, frivolity and gaiety. He's going to the cross. And he says, I wish my joy, what I have right now, I wish that was in you. Now, can you imagine some fellow that you know, he's gotten really heavy into trouble, they're going to send him to the firing squad. See? So he's walking to the firing squad. Now, let's say that he did that for a good cause. Nobody could ferret it out, and he's being unjustly punished and all the rest of you. Well, you're going to be put in the firing squad. So you're his friend. You're standing there in the sidelines. He's walking past, and he turns to you and says, boy, I just wish you had as much joy in you as I have right now. Now, you'd wonder about that. But he wouldn't, when he sent that, he wouldn't hand you a songbook and a beanie, you know. he would be saying something deep. Now, there's no greater satisfaction, I think, in all the world than the satisfaction that comes from having your head together and knowing what this thing's all about. And you can look down your life road, and you can see a clean shot. It's a clean shot right down the road. You know where you're going. You got Christ with you. You're going to take a lot of lumps. Things are going to be tough maybe, but you know where you're going. Everything's all right. Now, how many people, even at, say, my age, half a century mark, who have made what we might call a success of their lives, as far as this world is concerned. How many of them have that kind of a clean shot in their lives? Usually life's so complicated and torn up and everything is, nobody really knows where to go. And then you can see it in some of the political chaos of our country. Look what happens to these guys right up at the top echelons. Here are guys that worked their way to the top, they're middle-aged men, and their lives are a shambles because they never stopped on the way to find out where they were going. And they just went rushing right over a cliff. Now, the tremendous thing about men like yourselves is that you're at the threshold of your lives. You haven't had a chance yet to foul anything up too much. It can't be straightened out very easily with a good lawyer. But you haven't, you know, you got your life out there. And you haven't gotten too far off the track. And the Lord can take that life of yours and use it in a tremendous way. But not only that, you can have that same sense of deep satisfaction that no matter what hits you down the road, you get slapped around a little bit. You're going to have to accept that. But it doesn't matter because you know what you stand for. And you know where you're going. You can take a lot of beating if you know what you're doing. We have a governor the state of California, whose father was governor some years ago. And I was a fairly good friend of his father's. And we were discussing one day what about the candidacy that was while he was running for governor. And I wasn't sure, you know, I didn't vote for him, and his father knew that. But I asked him when I was trying to make up my mind about it. I said, the thing I want to know is, why does he want to be governor? And his father said to me, well, I don't know, I never asked him. And I said to him then, I said, you know, when he gets up there, he's going to take an awful pounding. And I said, he better know why he's there if he's going to stand. And his father said, well, as a matter of fact, that's right. He said, my worst enemies were the people in my own party. They were the roughest on me. You see, very few men know why they are where they are. And that's when it's hard to take the blows. When you know why you're there and where you're going, you can take a lot of punishment. So you don't need to be apprehensive about looking down the future. You're going to have people that'll be against you, and you're going to have circumstances that'll hit you, and you're going to have trouble in the flesh. I can tell you that right now. I don't have to be a great prophet to tell you that. I don't have a crystal ball here, but I can still tell you you're going to have trouble with people. If you get married, and some of you already are, if you get married, you're going to have trouble with your wives. Or your wives are going to have trouble with you. And it's not always going to be sweet, because people don't know how to relate to each other. One thing you learn in life is that no matter how great a Christian a person is, they still have trouble relating to each other. Because we've always got that fleshly thing in there, a little selfishness and pride and stubbornness and all the same things that everybody has. And I can say to you that you can be a pretty good Christian and still you're going to have trouble in the flesh. But you'll be all right if you've got that one thing that, well, Lord, I'm doing my best. I'm trying to follow your will. I'm trying to do this thing right. And you will relate to people in the name of Christ. It certainly takes a lot of the heat off. If when you're relating to somebody and you've got problems with them, see, there's trouble there. Your wife or your girlfriend or your mommy or daddy, you're relating to people. And there's trouble there. And you're saying, Lord, there's trouble here. I'm trying to do the best I can, but I don't seem to be able to get this thing straightened out. Will you help me? And then, when you do your part, and you can come to Christ, and you can say, Lord, I've done everything I can do about it. I leave it in your hands. Takes a lot of the pressure off. Because then you have to say, well, however this thing turns out, I know the Lord's with me. Because I'm doing what he wants me to do. And that'll be true in all the things that you hit, all the tough things in life. If you can still come back to the Lord and say, well, Lord, I'm just trying to do my best. I don't know what I'm always doing right, but I want to stay with you. And you'd be amazed how he can take some of the most impossible situations and spin them around and straighten them out. It's an amazing thing how he does that. I've been through some pretty tough stuff. And I've watched the Lord do some things that I could never do in straightening out human relationships. On a number of occasions, I've been married for about 30 years now, same woman. And that's not easy for her. I mean, I'm a hard person to live with. Not because I'm ornery. Everybody knows I'm not ornery. But you know, I'm the kind of fellow that is a bulldozer. You know, I've got things to do. And a tender, fragile little lady may get trampled in the rush. But she's put up with me for a long time. And sometimes things get, you know, where you try to talk to somebody and you're on a different frequency. You may have been there before. There's no way you can seem to get together on the thing. You try to explain, the more you explain, the worse it gets. So that's happened to me sometimes. And I can remember times when I mean, right in the middle of the argument, debate, we have arguments. My wife and I have had arguments in our 30 years of marriage. So you thought I was a saint. I'm not. I argue. We've had some debates.
Discussions.
Yes. Sweet discussions. But right in the middle of it, you know, I'll say, no, I don't tell her, now you're nutty as a fruitcake. You better get with it. I don't say things like that. But right in the middle of it, I stop and I say, oh, wait a minute. We're just getting ourselves all off the track here. Let's pray and ask the Lord to straighten it out. I've done that sometime while driving along in the car. Things kind of get a little squirrely there. So I just pull a car right over to the side of the road and say, no, just wait a minute. Let's just pray and ask the Lord to straighten us out. So we stop and we pray and things get straightened out and go on. But human relationships are always going to be a problem. No matter how much you may be given to Christ, things are going to still be tough. When you're 50, 60, 70 years old, you're going to have trouble with them. Because we're all people in the flesh. We're natural people. We've got that skull of ours grooved with so many ridiculous grooves up there that it's a wonder we ever think straight about anything. As I said to you before, at my age, I've come to the conclusion the greatest lessons you can learn in life are that one, you're ignorant, two, you're a fool, and three, you're a child. Everybody's that way. You know, you're a child, you're a man one day, and a child the next. Just the way life is. Right? So, it's amazing though, if you've got your eye on the right point out there, and you know that the heart of life is Christ, it's amazing how He can straighten out these things for you. And the adversities you hit, the tough stuff, you get hurt in many different kinds of ways. People hurt you, you get physically hurt. A lot of things happen to you. But you're going on with the Lord, and nothing really makes that much difference in the light of eternity. After all, you're just going to be down here for a few quick years, then you're going to be out in eternity, you see. And that's where the big thing is. That's where it's all at. And this is a proving ground. So whatever comes down the pike here is all right. Any situation you're in, no matter how bad it is, it's not going to last any longer than your earthly life. And that's consoling. So now Paul says, for to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And see, with a philosophy like that, you don't need to be afraid of anything. If you live on the earth, you've got Christ with you. Whatever goes on, He's going to help you. Even if you're in trouble, even if you're in the wrong, all that, He's going to help you to come there. So you've got Christ on the earth, and when you die, you've got eternity out there with Him and with the great universe God has made. So Paul says, I know that all these things that have happened, all these things, he said, they've happened for the furtherance of the gospel. And he says, I can rejoice because I know that, and he uses an expression here that's kind of modern, whatever goes down is going to be unto salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, there is a very essential point here. That is that we Christians hang together. That's what this fellowship's all about. When you come to a meeting like this, you don't come just to get some words laid on you. We give you some words, but the Spirit we trust is using those words. And it isn't just words. It's the energy of the Spirit that comes through the Word amongst us like this. It doesn't matter whether you got two people or three or five or whatever. It doesn't bother me one way or the other. I'll talk to whoever comes. We got one person here, we'll talk to them. Because everybody's important to me. I'm not looking for crowds. The worth, the magnificent importance of one person, especially a young person, because their life's ahead of them, is such that I would travel up here for one person if I had to. It's just outstanding. Of course, I've seen over a great many years, 20, 30 years, what has happened to see some of these people that I've come up. You know, when I went to Ojai years ago, I went primarily for counseling with one family there. I went for several years in a circuit. I was doing a circuit. I was working with some of the drug crowd down the coast. But part of that circuit was to slip into Ojai and counsel with this one family, minister to them. For 5 years, I went in there working with one family, along with his other churches, before a Bible study opened up. But when it did, so much came out of it. I'm here tonight, gentlemen, in this outfit, because years ago, I went up there for one family. Whole Ojai Bible study, plus all the tapes, plus the original meeting here in Wanimi, you know, all this stuff came out. I used to meet in Wanimi with a bunch of drug, you know, the dopers. That's not this crowd. I mean, none of those on the base here, of course. This is Clean Town. You see, the vitality of this thing, though, is that the Spirit of God, do you understand what's going on here? The Spirit of God comes to minister to our hearts. He ministers to me as he does to you. That's what Paul says here. Your prayer is for me. And your sharing of the Spirit with me is important. So we all get that touch from the Spirit. The Spirit of God is here. I was working with a person down in San Diego and finally got him to come to one of the Bible studies there. And this person had never been able to get any kind of registration about Christ. You know, they tried to get saved and all that sort of thing. And nothing ever happened. This person went to the Bible study just one night last week. They were really in trouble and hadn't been sleeping at all at night. And they were just really bad, depressed. And I just prayed for the person. They came to the meeting. The next day, she said, I slept all night, depression's gone, it's worked, it's just tremendous, total change. And she said, I knew the Lord was there in that meeting. And he was, just a handful of us, just a few. And yet the Spirit of the Lord was there, and he's here in this place. Not because I'm any good, you all know me better than that. It's not because I'm any good, it's because I come with a word. I'm just one of you, I'm just one of the people. But I come with the Word, and the Spirit ministers to your hearts. And you can come back here. I'll tell you something. If you gentlemen, you just come week after week somewhere to get the Word. I don't mean I'm the only one that has it. It's not easy to find that kind of thing because there's too much mixture with it. You know, it's like taking coffee and mixing a bunch of sawdust with it. You know, people don't even know how bad it is. There was a story about, this is a true story. It came out of the history of California. When they were putting through the Owens River Aqueduct, and they were working up there at the Owens Valley, and they had set up camp there, of course, for all the workers. And so one day there was a riot in the camp, and the foreman was called down to the headquarters in Los Angeles to explain what was going on. The guy said, it's the coffee. That's the thing. Well, he said, what's the matter with the coffee? Why should that make it? Well, he said, they got a new cook. And he said, and the cook made such lousy coffee that they couldn't drink it. So they just finally got so mad, they just rioted in the camp. And the guy said, what's the matter? Get them the coffee. We got to get this thing done. Get the best coffee you can find. What's the matter with the coffee? He said, that's the problem. He said, the cook refuses to make it the way the other person did because they made it out of chicory and sawdust. Now you see, some people have been fed this baloney so long in some of these places that they don't know the difference. You know? And they think that's the way it's supposed to be, and they're miserable and wretched, and it tears their guts up, but they don't know that it's supposed to be any different. So I realize it's not easy to find a place where the pure coffee and the pure word is. But that's what you have to have, a pure word, you see. Because it's what we give you here, just give you the word. I don't have any tricks up my sleeve. I don't come with any big stories or anything else. Just go down the Word here and talk about it. But the Spirit of God is here because the Word is here. And I want to say to you this. I can make a guarantee to you. If you'll get with the Word of God in some fellowship, if you can come here, it's good. But if you move out, you can't. Somewhere with the Word of God every week, just keep going, just hang in there every week of your life. That's where you're going to get the strength in the Spirit to keep going. And if you, things will come up in your life, you'll get crossways, but the Lord will straighten them out if you just keep in there. You just hang in there. We've got people now up there in the Ojai places, this couple I was telling you about, they've been hanging in there with me for 20 or more years, not always in Ojai, they were in another place, but they've been with me over 20 years. Every week, somewhere in the Word, they've had all kinds of problems like anybody else has, but they get straightened out. There are a lot of people like that in our fellowships around the country. But I find that the people that are erratic, you know, they come and go and come and go and they don't hang in there. Then they stay away a while and Satan gets at them. They break that tie. And Satan gets an advantage. Like a herd of sheep, you see. You cut one of the sheep out of the flock and then you can get eaten by the wolves. That's the defense, is to stay together. So it's a very important secret. I don't care what problems you confront. Because I've been with couples and people that have had problems that would curl your hair and your toes too. And yet, they hang in there and the Lord straightens the problems out. And that's it. Just week after week, stay with Christ. It's not vowing great vows or being a great Christian or anything else. It's just staying with the Word, staying with Christ, staying with the believers. Week after week, no matter what happens. That's where your strength is going to be. Christ says, where two or three of you are gathered in my name, there I'm in the midst. What else do you want than that? Nothing. Thank you, Father, for these words. May the Spirit of Christ use them for His glory, the lives of all of us. In Christ's name, amen.